The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 9th through Sunday, January 15th, 2023. The commentary for January was written by Ellis Liu, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. In her spare time, she enjoys keeping up with sitcoms, stress baking, and good coffee. The commentary for Monday, January 9th, begins as follows from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? Here's the commentary. Julia Chester Emery founded the United Thank Offering, UTO. This ministry of the Episcopal Church encourages the personal spiritual practice of gratitude. We are all asked to give thanks in everything. For me, this is hard to do when I keep myself too busy in those periods of my year. I try to take seriously my spiritual director's advice to stop and notice the little things during my day and to thank God for them. UTO's ministry invites us to make an offering for each of those blessings we might notice during our day. Their blue box takes the form of either an actual small cardboard box or the UTO Blue Box app. UTO then distributes 100% of the collection to mission and ministry through the Episcopal Church and Anglican Communion. Emery's work continues to shape the church today. Being created in God's image means being invited into God's work of creating this new world of abundance and gratitude, where no one is hungry and the oppressed are set free. And now I'll read from the full passage from Isaiah for this day. It's from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 23. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has instructed him? Whom did he consult for his enlightenment, and who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor are its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. As a gift, one chooses mulberry wood, wood that will not rot, then seeks out a skilled artisan to set up an image that will not topple. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. And now the moving forward question for this day is, does your giving go hand in hand with gratitude? The commentary for Tuesday, January 10th, begins with the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Growing up, prayer requests were often a one-sided list of things I wanted. Even when I prayed with others, it seldom felt like a conversation with God. And I confess I never remembered whether God answered our prayers or not. The daily office changed this for me. Worshiping with a monastic community, I prayed morning and evening prayer every day with the Sisters of St. Mary. The nuns invited our prayers and then took turns reading from their community's prayer list, adding any needs that had been brought to them by friends or the world. I remember once hearing a sermon about a Franciscan friar who was asked, "What is the point of religious life?" The answer? We're all supposed to say our prayers, and when we fail, nuns and monks are praying our prayers for us, too. They watch the news every night. They lift up the world's greatest needs and desires up to God every single day. That's the point of prayer, interceding on each other's behalf, remembering each other before God, and praying without ceasing in thanksgiving. And now I'll read the full passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And the moving forward question today is, how do you pray unceasingly? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, January 11th. It is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 41. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." My church has a lovely little chapel near the Undercroft, the Chapel of the Guardian Angels. Christ is depicted kneeling in a stained glass Garden of Gethsemane and praying, "Thy will be done." During Holy Week, I take particular solace in that scene. It reminds me that Jesus also prayed in the midst of suffering. God knows what human suffering is and chose to walk its path all the way to death upon the cross. In today's gospel, a man with leprosy comes to Jesus in supplication, praying for his healing. Leprosy would have marked this man as ritually unclean, which is why Jesus instructs him to show himself to the priest. In the 21st century, there are others whom society deems unclean, unsafe to touch or to associate with. Wherever you see yourself in this story, Jesus meets you there. Jesus chooses you. Jesus has known our suffering and does not turn away. Today, remember that there is no burden too heavy to lay down before our God. And now I'll read the full scripture here from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testament to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. And the moving forward question for this day is, are you suffering? Take the burden to God in prayer. And now for the commentary for Thursday, January 12th. It begins with a passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14. "For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us." Here's the commentary. "My family immigrated to the United States when I was 3 years old," says the writer, "so I've been aware of things like passports, residency documents, and citizenship from a very young age. I was very charmed as a child that my green card was called a resident alien card. Today, the document is much more appropriately called a permanent resident card. But as an Asian American, my experience in this country continues to be marked by this idea of alienness. This feeling of not belonging is something I experience in the church as well. As someone who found the Episcopal Church in my young adulthood, I also think about how the former borders of the British Empire shaped the Anglican Communion. St. Paul reminds us today, though, that all of these things are human and will pass away. Our citizenship is in heaven. Things like borders cut across families and communities. Jesus promises to break down all divisions, so that all might know peace." And now I'll read from the full scripture of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. "One in Christ. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And the moving forward question today is, how might you support refugees and others? One possibility is through a migration ministry of your choice. Do some research into this ministry and find out more about it. Now the commentary for Friday, January 13th. It begins with a passage from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Something I hear a lot is that something or someone will never change. I hear this even in church work. As Episcopalians, we are often proud of our liturgy and the way that things have always been done in our churches. There's nothing wrong with loving our traditions, but I do sometimes imagine the Holy Spirit nudging us, gently reminding us not to forget about her. After all, Christ came to make all things new. The beauty of being part of a community is that we all bring our quirks and different perspectives to the shared table. In practice, the Christian community that we try to intentionally build with each other can often be painful or frustrating. Our personalities might rub each other the wrong way, or our lived experiences might just seem too different. God does not want us to pretend those differences or difficulties don't exist. Instead, Jesus transforms us so that we might truly be Christ's body here on earth, still unique, but united in love. And now I'll read the full scripture for today. It is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 through 17. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its towns lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord goes forth like a soldier, like a warrior. He stirs up his fury. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbage. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by a road they do not know, by paths they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back and utterly put to shame, those who trust in carved images, who say to cast images, "You are our gods." And the moving forward question for this Friday, January 13th, is the Holy Spirit calling you to change? How will you respond? The commentary for Saturday, January 14th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 4a. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? Here's the commentary. Abel is often described as the first murder victim in the Bible. His brother Cain kills him out of jealousy, denies knowing what happened, and then sarcastically asks God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" A dear Jewish teacher of mine once paraphrased the whole of Scripture and the rabbinic tradition that follows as God's answering Cain's rhetorical question. "Yes," says God, "yes, you are your brother's keeper." In Mark's Gospel, we get a glimpse into the rabbinic discussion about what is lawful to do on the Sabbath. The debates are long, but ultimately conclude that saving a life is more important than any other religious obligation. For our Jewish siblings, human life is elevated above ritual, even on the Sabbath. Through Jesus and the Pharisees' debates, we see the ways that early Jewish communities and early Christian communities both agreed and disagreed on how to apply Scripture to our everyday lives. And now I'll read the full passage from the Gospel for today. It's Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" And then continuing into chapter 3, again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. And the moving forward question for this day, how would you distill Scripture into a single phrase? Does "you are your brother's keeper" resonate with you? And we conclude the week with a commentary for Sunday, January 15th, beginning with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God is a wonderful title for Jesus used in St. John's Gospel. It points us back to the binding of Isaac and Abraham's deep faith that God would provide. Over time, John the Baptist's proclamation of Jesus as the Lamb of God has been honored in the Church's liturgy. Today it's one of the great prayers and anthems at the breaking of the bread. Together we pray for the Lamb of God to grant us his peace. In the context of the breaking of Christ's body, we catch a glimpse of what God's peace looks like. Sharing in the communion feast, we become Christ's body on earth, pieces and parts, yet all of one whole. Gone are the world's empty proclamations of peace with no action. We pray for God's kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven, so God answers. God sends us out to the very hands and feet for the work of justice, the forgiveness of sins, and our reconciliation. The full gospel today from John 1:29-42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and testified that this is God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples as he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. The moving forward question for this day, what does it mean to you to hear Jesus described as the Lamb of God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for our program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.